Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Valentine's Day edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, hey, since it is technically Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning, so you can swing on over there, check that out, see what else is going on. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, oh, come on, we all know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, so I decided if anybody doesn't like Justin Verlander, they should start liking him now. I actually missed it. To tell you the truth, I hate the show, and I really just dislike the guy as well. But apparently on the High Heat show on MLB Network, the good old Mad Dog, good old Chris Russo, was, of course, being an East Coast guy, with his East Coast bias, and he was rambling along about how the Yankees are the favorite to win it all this year. So now, obviously, with the addition of Giancarlo Stanton, they really didn't do a whole lot, so obviously his information is poor, or he's just a verbose idiot, and I'm going to go with the second one there, because if you've seen or heard anything from this guy, that's the only reason he's done anything for a career, is he likes to yell and scream, and for some reason I guess people like that. But Verlander actually shot back at him by not mentioning his name in person, but just mentioned someone on TV, and just kind of explained that it looks like the road to the World Series is going to go through Houston, and I thought it was just pretty cool the way that he kind of worked it all in and all that fun stuff. So if you didn't like Justin Verlander now, you should start liking him. That's not even mentioning the fact that he's married to Kate Upton, because that's a whole different story when it comes to why you should like him. But yeah, I thought it was humorous. Did you manage to catch any of this idiot's ramblings, or are you like I am, when you see him on TV, you just turn him off?
When I first saw him coming to TV, I think I asked you who's this guy and what's he about, and I watched it maybe 5 minutes of one episode, and I never tuned in again.
Yeah, I actually didn't know he was a baseball guy. I knew for a long time, he did they were Mike and Mad Dog, and they were like the most popular sports duo possibly in radio history. And then they had, I don't remember what the fallout was. I actually think there's an ESPN 30 for 30 on it. That's how actually famous they were. And I know the Mike part of it, Mike, I believe it's Francesa maybe is how it's pronounced. I believe he's still doing radio in New York. I don't know if Russo does radio in New York. I know he does Sirius XM garbage, but he ended up with the TV show, and they just kind of broke up and went their separate ways. But yeah, I had no clue he was a baseball guy until all of a sudden he was on the MLB Network with his own show, and I was like, crap, man, how do I get this? I'm like, what the hell?
You guys are yelling, making crazy faces.
Yeah. I don't know how much more yelling I can do. I just kind of, it wears me out. I'm old. I get tired real quick now. But you did ask me, Dan asked me off the air if there were any signings today. in baseball. And actually, both Chicago teams made signings, Dan. Nothing major, but I thought they both made some kind of interesting ones. The Cubs signed Shea Simmons. And while the main name may not sound familiar for you, he was a prospect with the Braves. And actually in 2014 had a really good year for them. Made 26 relief appearances, had a 2.91 ERA. That's E.R.A, Dan, by the way, or E period R dot R period A period. He picked up one save, but ever since then, he's ran into a boatload of arm trouble. He's only pitched in 16 games the last two seasons. In 2015, he didn't pitch in the majors at all. The Cubs got him on what's considered a two-way contract. If he sticks with the major league team, he'll be paid $75,000. If he ends up in the minors, he'll get paid $120,000. So, if he's healthy, he's only, 26 going on 27. He could be another one of those guys we talked about, them needing some bullpen help. So it's possible if there's some health there and, they can get him to regain his form, he could be a useful guy for them. So we'll have to see. And then we swing across town, and the White Sox are actually bringing back Hector Santiago. They signed him to a minor league deal with, the invite to spring training. Santiago was with the White Sox from 2011 to 2013. They shipped him off to the Angels. He actually made the All-Star team as an Angel in 2015. They ended up moving him to the Twins. He spent a couple years there. Down year last year, 4-8 in just 14 starts. He only pitched in 15 games because of injury. But, he's shown he can have success, especially in the American League. A couple guys that, neither team really took a big chance on, but, could possibly help out down the road or, however it works out. And then another White Sox news, Dan, they did win their arbitration case against Abisail Garcia. So he will make, what did it say here, $6.7 million this season. Yeah, so apparently that's the big news, besides the fact that secret free agent camp opened. But there doesn't. They said it looks like 40 free actually are there now, apparently. So I don't know. They don't have a whole lot of information about it here. But we know it's at the IMG Academy, in Florida, and they do have some, former major league coaches and stuff in to run the camp. Bo Porter is heading it. He's the former Astro manager. So, they do have some credible names there who are at least kind of putting the guys through their paces.
Well, and you forgot the Rays signing.
The Rays made a signing? I must not have seen that one.
Yeah. It's a J.D. Martin. Oh, wait, that's not Martinez. Never mind.
So... yeah, I mean, like I did see, like the Braves inked Chris Stewart to a one-year deal. So, he'll do a little catching there. But, it's kind of still, just really, the under-the-radar type of guys that are still being added by these teams right now. I think the biggest news was Giancarlo Stanton came out and said, he may have to miss some spring training games because he's still recovering from shoulder surgery. Or excuse me, Aaron Judge, not Giancarlo Stanton. Aaron Judge said that, but they keep saying he's going to be ready for opening day. That of course sent everybody in into a Twitter. On the Twitterverse or wherever you were, but they were all a flutter with any chance that record at all. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, well, and yesterday, I don't think we really talked about it. The Orioles were able to sign 1 year, $5.6 million with Kevin Gausman to avoid arbitration. And then two names coming off the free agent list. The St. Louis Cardinals picked up Bud Norris for a year at $3 million. And the Dodgers re-signed Chase Utley for two more years for $2 million. I'm double-checking that. That's got to be a won't let me go towards it, but I'm assuming that's $1 million a year. Not bad for a guy that's going to be playing backup at his age, right?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, he's, that's, 39 and 40. And I actually did mention the Bud Norris thing while you were getting the baby, so yesterday. So we did cover that one. So,
yeah.
We were all over that. Yeah.
And I know we're still trying to get Starlin Castro to a competitive team, but does that mean with him as their backup, they're kind of maybe not looking for a guy like Starlin Castro to join their team to play second base? Thing is, they have first base, third, and short pretty much locked. I don't remember, does Logan Forsythe play second for the Dodgers too?
Yes, he does.
If I can go to
he should be the starter.
So,
no.
Well, I would assume so, right?
Yeah, he's been projected as the starter. I know I saw most projections have Chris Taylor taking over the center field job on opening day. So that'll be, kind of interesting because, Puig is going to hold down right field. If Taylor's going to play center full time, that means they probably have about five guys left to try to figure out how to get bats in left. Well, they have Matt Kemp. Andrew Toles comes back from injury. He'll be ready to go. They have Jock Peterson. They have your guy, Kiki. So, they got quite a few guys that they're, going to have to find it back for.
Don't forget Trace Thompson.
Yeah, well, I think he's definitely the odd man out. I don't think there's any at-bats for Trace either. He's either headed back to AAA or they're going to have to, he's going to find a new home again. So, there's just not enough. There's not enough at-bats for those four guys, let alone to add any extra guys into the mix. So it could get quite interesting. The Angels finally came out and made a statement today that everybody was just kind of waiting for them to make it official. They said that Shohei Ohtani will not be playing the outfield. He will serve as, obviously a pitcher, which Mike Socha actually said today that he's going to work at the majority of the time. And the way it sounds, they're not planning on allowing him to do too much DHing. So it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of works out or, what they end up doing with him. But, Dan, if he's almost exclusively a pitcher, are you a little disappointed?
Actually, a lot disappointed. I really thought that this would be a part of changing the game. Changing the way everyone views the pitcher when it comes to hitting.
And I know this would be a bit of a stretch here, but, if you're the Angels owner, you're going to get, if he's DHing, you're going to get people, extra fans in the seats. Do you maybe hint around to your manager that you're going to need him in the lineup a little more than he's planning on playing him?
Owner, GM, president. Yeah, I think you should be going that route. I think that was the expectation all along, especially for me was, of course, I would have loved to see him go to the Giants, but I guess that would hurt, some of the outfield, especially now. But, you know, I thought going over to an American League team, he would, you know, definitely get at least 40-plus games in at the DH position. But I guess it's Los Angeles and Anaheim, when you've got Pujols kind of holding down that spot, right?
Well, they did say, you know, Pujols lost some weight and he's looking to play more first base this year. So, you know, I guess we would have to see on, you know, how things would go. I know, you know, the Angels also did mention that they will start the season with a 6-man rotation. So Ohtani can get used to Major League Baseball. I don't know how pitching in a 6-man rotation helps him, because basically that's what, you know, he did in Japan. You know, he used to pitch on Sundays and then he would take a day off, and then I think he would DH 3 straight days, and then Saturday was a day off, and then he would pitch again on Sunday. So I don't know how plugging him into a 6-man rotation makes him, you know, as they say, ease him into the major league rotation. But I guess if they think it's going to help, hey, you know, whatever works for you.
I mean, it could, but how can you say you're going to start out with it and then back off on it? I think once you make that decision, you're pretty much locked in, aren't you? I mean, you're not going to go 6-man rotation through the All-Star break and then all of a sudden, you know, start, you know, dropping down to every five games.
Well, you know, I guess the interesting thing is, you know, there's always all those days off early in the season. How the hell do you juggle a 6-man rotation with, you know, all those days off early? I mean, it's hard enough to use 5, you know, and get enough work for everybody. If you're going to go 6, I don't know. You know, it's their problem now, so we'll see.
Well, and, you know, that's the other thing. Why even say you're going that route when, like you mentioned, there's always that day off after opening day? So let's say he's the opening day pitcher. You know, it's him, the next guy, you know, a day off, and then the next guy on the second day. And, you know, why not just kind of piece it together up until you get on the full-time schedule coming up in May?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, it's a good question. Sadly, you know, neither of us can answer it. But, you know, I mean, just kind of, you know, kind of how it works out. So, you know, we'll have to see if it works for them or how it kind of works for them. But I don't know. It was, you know, I was kind of in the same boat you were. It's like, well, wait, what are you going to do in, you know, March and April when it, you know, everybody gets all the huge days off? So, because I'm thinking here, I'm guessing they open March 29th with the A's in town. So, and let me see what April brings. Yeah, it looks like they play 5 straight and they get a day off. And, well, there aren't as many days off as I thought. They do have a big string of games after that. It looks like they play 10 straight before their next day off. So, yeah, there's a few more games in April than I anticipated. So maybe it'll be okay and there'll be enough innings to go around. You know, these things, you know, more and more of these things baffle me, Dan, and I know sooner or later it's going to be the thing where it will be just like Japan and the starter will have one day to pitch and that'll be it. You know, that'll just be his day. And I guess if that's an off day, he just doesn't pitch, he gets an extra off day. So, you know, it's just the way they, you know, because we can no longer develop arms because, you know, we've been over this a million times, but, you know, kids are blowing out at such a young age now that, you know, they can't log any innings. Everybody's terrified of allowing anybody to pitch more than 5 innings. So, you know, this is sadly what we're going to see. And, You know, I mean, you want to speed the game up. Good Lord, teach your starters how to pitch and let them go deep into games. We don't have to make so many damn pitching changes.
Pretty much.
But, yeah, so that's, you know, that's apparently their plan. We'll have to see if and how it works out or how long they go with six or, you know what I mean? I've heard some other teams mention it, you know, so we'll see. I think the Mets have brought it up as well, and the Mets should probably go to six man. In reality, the Mets should probably go to 10 man with the way their guys get hurt. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, it's just I'm assuming this is going to be the new thing and everybody is going to have a six-man rotation by, you know, next season or 2020. You know, that'll be the thing. And, you know, I guess we'll have to get used to it and eat it, right? Because there's nothing you and I can do about it.
Pretty much. I mean, I was trying to find the Japanese league schedule, but it's kind of difficult to find, actually.
Well, they did have, let me see if I can hunt it down here again. They had a, just like I was saying, they had a, the way it broke down for Ohtani while he was in Japan, here's exactly how his schedule went, Dan. He pitched on Sunday. He had a day off on Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, he was DH. And then on Friday and Saturday, he was off just to get his, you know, his side work in like pitchers do. That was his schedule.
Yeah, well, the way it looks like from one of the schedules I was able to pull up, it looks like they do not have games on Mondays. So, I mean, the only true way to have that six-man rotation would be for baseball to completely revamp its schedule and eliminate a day, you know, kind of like your money league fantasy, where I don't know if it changed, but in the past, you always said there was a day off during the week or something, like Thursdays. One of the travel
I can't remember what the hell they do anymore. I'm sure Mr. Fantasy will yell at me for it though later. So.
But I mean, the way baseball is now, anyways, I still think they should drop it. The schedule down to drop eight games. I mean, it doesn't make a huge difference. But, you know, of course, teams would lose out on revenue, but you would think some of the smaller market teams would actually do a little bit better, or kind of not better, but balance themselves out and maybe even eliminate a weekday game completely off the schedule. I don't think Monday is the game you want to go with unless you're doing, you know, all your series Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I still think they should be putting together four-day schedules or, you know, four games, five game schedules on the weekend, and maybe just eliminating Wednesday, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday from the schedule all together.
Yeah, I would like the four game, Friday, Saturday, Sunday wrap around to Monday series with, you know, Monday being like an afternoon game. So, you know, you could get out and get going. I think that would be a good deal for teams. But, I don't know. I mean, better yet, I mean, give them Monday off and let them play doubleheaders on Sunday. So.
You could do your day night.
Yeah, you know, I mean, set it all up. I mean, obviously you'd have to start them a little earlier because you can't conflict with the, the Sunday night game on, the Mickey Mouse Network, but, you could work it out somehow, some way that they could do that, but, they won't because the Players Association doesn't like doubleheaders. So.
Just 6 hours of baseball is too much.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of, one of those things that people can't deal with, don't want to deal with, however you kind of look at it. So We'll see, but yeah, you know, it'll be, you know, I mean, we're getting close here. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, next week is the official report date, I think, for everybody. You know, I know there are teams that are already, you know, have all their guys already in camp and stuff. That's no big deal, but you know, we've got to see, you know, fill a boatload of guys out there. I mean, not just top name guys, but some, you know, some kind of, you know, next level guys, and then, you know, role players that are, you know, all still out there looking for jobs. I don't know. I mean, do you think we get a signing frenzy going here, or are we going to go in next week with teams still kind of looking over their roster, trying to figure out what they need?
I mean, I would like to see a free agent frenzy signing, but I think they're just going to continue to work on it and see what they need, like you said.
Well, but yeah, you know, I don't know. It's just been, you know, it's been such a weird off season that I don't know, you know, really to the point on how to commentate on it anymore. I mean, you know, we've been talking about it for, you know, how long? I mean, this is normally a big thing for you and I, you know, it's like, hey, we go over it and this guy signs here and that guy signs there. And, you know, we're all excited to see, you know, how he's going to do with his new team or how much money he got or, you know, any of that stuff. And in reality, we just haven't had, you know, an opportunity at all to really even talk about any of that. So I don't know. You know, who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and see next week if, you know, JD Martinez has a job. You know, did he sign with the Red Sox, or, you know, did somebody jump in? And you know, I know, like, Schomburg Stu asked me about John Jay. He was wondering why he hadn't been signed yet. And I'm like, well, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. I mean, I know the Marlins reached out to him, but I don't know how contract talks went there. So
I thought it was hilarious when, I forget who it was talking about, shoring up, you know, did the Cubs figure out their leadoff position, especially now that John Jay's gone. And I couldn't stop laughing because I'm like, he was not an answer, and he did not even, I wasn't the biggest Dexter Fowler fan to begin with, but he didn't even fill Dexter Fowler's shoes, let alone the leadoff spot. And, you know, I really enjoyed the Cubs radio broadcast, but after listening to Ron Coomer the other day on the radio, I kind of wanted to kick him in the shin after he's like, oh, I'd like to see Kyle Schwarber back in the leadoff spot.
Oh God. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the big thing. You know, there was a rumor out there that, you know, now that the Mets have signed Todd Frazier, they're considering batting him leadoff. You know, he barely hit over 200 last year. He's going to be your leadoff guy. So how bad? That's fantastic.
Why not just have the pitcher back second?
Yeah. You know, you would think, what the hell, right? So, but yeah, I don't know, you know, too many guys looking at too many stats instead of looking at what should go on the field, and you get these, you know, concocted ideas of, you know, yeah, this looks fantastic. Let's lead this guy off because he takes pitches. It doesn't matter that he can't get on base. He takes pitches, and that's important. So, you know, it's like, okay, next, anybody? You know?
Well, I mean, you know, batting first and getting upwards of 6 to 8 pitches, that's really going to make a difference in the fourth and fifth inning when they decide to take the guy out,
yeah.
Right? That's the whole logic.
Oh. Well, it would speed up the process. You know, except for the fact that, you know, how many guys just go up there and then swing at the first pitch? You know, it's not like your entire team is taking pitch pitches. You know, there's very few guys in the league who take pitches anymore. You know, nobody works the count. Everybody's interested in their, you know, their swing plane and what kind of lift they're getting on the ball and how many home runs they can hit. You know, nobody gives a crap about working the count and, you know, actually seeing what a guy has. We're just going to jump on the first thing that looks hittable, even if it's bouncing in the plate there, Javier Baez. So, you know, just it's such a different game now that I you know, who knows? So, you know, just that kind of fun stuff. But, you know, switching off topics here as we move along after our bit of baseball banter, it's actually being reported that Fox is going to carry the NFL draft. So let me bring Dan back in here. He went away for a little bit. So come on, there we go. Bring Dan back in. Now we're rolling. Yeah, Dan, what do you think about the NFL moving the draft to Fox? Now, ESPN is still going to have their coverage, so it'll be on Fox, the Mickey Mouse Network, and the NFL Network. So, Dan, you'll be able to see the draft whenever you want, just about any time you want. You think this is a big move? I mean, they're going to basically a major network, right? Is Fox considered a major network?
Yeah, well, you know what that means for you.
No, there's other options. I'm not watching Joe Buck and Troy Aikman cover the draft. That's not happening. So, all right. I would jump off my balcony, even though I'm only one story up, if I had to sit through that. So, but yeah, I don't know. You big move? You think it's a big move?
It's big for them. I mean, they're already the biggest, but. I'm sure the ratings will be down, and they'll have a new reason why. I'm of course being sarcastic because it doesn't really matter. I don't know. I don't think ratings mean as much as they did 20 years ago because whether it's on Fox or whether it's on ESPN, I mean, if I'm not in front of my TV with the cable box, I could just stream it on one of the apps. So, but I have no interest in the NFL draft, so I won't be watching it anyway.
Yeah, you know, I always kind of check in to see, you know, who's going where and who's taking who. And, you know, I like to know who the Bears pick so I can make fun of Mr. Fantasy about it because, you know, they're doomed to blow the first pick, you know, one way or the other. I mean, to be fair, they actually made a good first pick this year. You know, Trubisky turned out, he looked like he's okay. The problem was they gave up the farm to move up one spot where nobody else wanted him in a stupid move. And, you know, it ended up being dumb anyway. So, you know, even when they do something right, they screw it up. But, yeah.
Well, you know, and the other thing with the NFL draft is since the Bears were out of any playoff talk picture, you know, the Chicago radio, if you listen to it, because I can't really listen to the music, you know, portion of radio anymore. It drives me nuts. But, I mean, the minute the Bears were out of the playoffs or, you know, in that realm, that's what was the hot topic, was next year's draft. And, I mean, you've already got local Chicago guys who this is their job and come off sounding more like idiots because the first thing that they bring up is, well, the Bears need to draft another quarterback. I just don't understand that logic.
They'll be taking the best wide receiver in the draft, which by all the boards I've seen is supposed to be Calvin Ridley out of, I believe, Alabama. So I would assume that'll be their pick, barring any changes or trades or unless he goes ahead of them, you know, which would be a bit of a shock. So, but who cares? It's the Bears. But, you know, Dan, it does look like our guy Johnny Manziel has found a place to ply his wares as he works to get back in the NFL. He announced today that he will participate in the developmental spring league in Austin, Texas. Now, the league is going to go from March 28th to April 15th, and it's designed for players hoping to impress NFL scouts. And the league itself has actually confirmed that Manziel will participate.
Wait, how do you have a league with 3 weeks?
Yeah, I remember reading about this where it's really just kind of a showcase for guys to show scouts and try to get signed. So, you know, we'll have to see if that'll work for him. But, I remember reading about this, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. So, the fact that it's just happening now, I mean, it's just kind of how things kind of work out. So, I'd like to see him get another shot. I've always been kind of a supporter, and I really do think there's some talent there. It's just being in the right situation. And, I mean, he did, in that short time with Cleveland, he showed some flashes, working with Josh Gordon. I mean, obviously he couldn't, got a little too much party and got himself in a little trouble with the, those certain people. So, you just have to wonder, if he can rein it in or however it kind of works out. But I would love to see him play. I think he could add a lot of excitement to his team with, his ability to get out of the pocket and, with all the, quarterback designs now, you can't tell me he couldn't fit in one of these, option offense where the quarterback could run if he had to.
Yeah, it's just funny you brought up the partying and stuff, but it seemed like wasn't that the culture in Cleveland for that team?
Yeah, the weird thing is, I don't think he really did anything different than any other guy did. It's just the fact that there was so much attention on him, that he couldn't, there was just no way to get away from it. And then he had a DUI. I think he had something like that. And, he kept kind of getting himself into the wrong situations. But, he was young, rich, and stupid. I mean, you had to kind of expect it was going to happen. So, you got to maybe he's matured and there's something there a team can find. May make him successful. It was kind of like, I went to bat for Colin Kaepernick because he was better than a lot of guys starting in the NFL.
With his situation, though, does that help devalue the Heisman Trophy winners?
You look at those guys. Didn't Reggie
Doug
Bush
Flutie?
do enough of that?
Yeah.
Doug Flutie was a Heisman winner. There's
it's going way back.
There's quite a few guys that you kind of look at it. Jameis Winston looks like he's going to probably have a really good career. Another guy who looks like, he's got to, got to keep himself out of trouble. But, your guy Robert Griffin won it. His career was a bit of a bust. Tim Tebow never made it. Going back after that, there was Troy Smith. Probably most people don't even remember him. Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart. Jason White, another guy nobody's going to remember. He was the quarterback out of Oklahoma, won in 2003. The list goes on and on of guys who just, great college players. Dan, can you tell me who Aaron Crouch or Chris Wink is besides Heisman winners?
The former college players?
Yeah, they're both, they're both Heisman Trophy winners. So, to be fair, there are some, great players on here. Charles Woodson won it. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Eddie George was a great running back in the league. Desmond Howard. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, recently, you know, Derrick Henry has been a really good player. You know, Marcus Mariota looks like he's on his way to being a, you know, a quality quarterback. So, you know, they're, you know, Cam Newton won it. But yeah, I mean, it's really the good and the bad. You know, I mean, there are guys on there who are, you know, very, very talented and put together nice careers. And then there's Rashaan Salaam.
I guess, so, Dan, my point was, how much value does that go into when it comes to the draft? Or does the combine pretty much, you know, more the measuring stick than the, maybe more so the name value that comes with a Heisman Trophy winner?
Yeah, you know, I think before everything got technical, winning the Heisman meant a lot more as a draft pick. But now, you know, with the combines and your personal workouts and, you know, all the other stuff that, you know, goes into these guys. I mean, you know, every player works out at his own school and, you know, all these other, you know, things. So, yeah, I think it has less and less of value as we move along.
Just something for the trophy case at home.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, it's one of those things. You know, they say, you know, they can't take it away from you. You know, you'll always be a Heisman Trophy
unless
winner.
Reggie
well,
Bush.
Except for Reggie Bush. Yeah, they made him vacate it. But I mean, technically, he did still win the Heisman Trophy. He just doesn't have it. You know, they didn't give the award to anybody else. So technically, you know, in my book, he's still the winner. You know, humorously, you can't tell me he was the only guy who was getting benefits from a school. So, you know, I'll never believe that. But, you know, and to, you know, to be fair, he never admitted anything. You know, he Barry Bonds'd it. So, you know, that, you know, as far as he's concerned, he didn't do anything wrong. So.
I wouldn't have gave the trophy back.
No, I wouldn't have either. So I've been like, screw you. So
I would have either kept it or sold it on eBay.
there's no way. The police would have had to show up at my house to get that trophy from me. There's no way I would have given it to them willingly. So, you know, it would have been like, nope, not happening. So you come to my house and try to take it from me.
I have it in an offshore.
You know, because obviously, I mean, yeah, you know, obviously, I mean, he won the award on the field. The benefits he got, well, I think it was his parents. I believe they ended up buying his mother a house or something. You know, that had nothing to do with the way he played. Just he, you know, violated the, you know, the ethics of college sports, which, to be fair, there really are none. So,
well, and I wouldn't say he did. I mean, the school did.
Yeah.
You know, if that's, I mean, think about, and I know it's fictitious, but Blue Chips, I mean, that came out well before Reggie Bush was in college doing his thing, right? Am I right on that one? Because that was back in 94, 95, you know, after Shaq and Penny Hardaway were the big Magic draft picks. And, I mean, let alone Penny Hardaway's mom was like, well, if he goes there, I need a house.
Yeah.
So Reggie Bush probably didn't even say a damn word. Mom probably saw the movie and was like, I need a house. Give me a house.
Yeah.
You know, so can't blame her.
No, you know what I mean? Like I said, you can't tell me those, you know, these things aren't happening, you know, even now, you know, so. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's no such thing as a student athlete. Well, at least not on the men's side. I believe the women probably actually go to class. But yeah, I'm not buying that any star male athlete at a major college program is actually attending class. So
Notre Dame?
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe, you know, give me Notre Dame, Stanford, and Northwestern. You know, not counting the Ivy League schools, because, you know, they actually don't have athletic scholarships, but, you know, so.
But, you know, and the way the game is now, though, especially the way the college game is, I mean, like you said, student athlete. I mean, why do we even continue with the charade? Is it because the NCAA? I mean, I don't see why the schools just don't say the hell with it. Because, you know, think about a program like Alabama or Auburn. You know, those are institutions down there. They don't really, you know, they root for them more than they would root for the Falcons. So, I mean, at the end of the day, why not just do what you've really been doing and pay these guys to play for your school team and continue to rake in the money from the students who, you know, go to the games and the alumni and the people who just live there who continue to go there? Why do we have to continue with this, you know, this BS charade? That, you know, once this guy goes to the NFL and makes multi-millions, he can go back to school if he wants, but he's not going to.
You know, while you brought that up, and college football attendance was down this year. I believe I saw a report that said 34.8%. So, you know, you got to be careful there. So,
do you judge that? Though?
Football.
That's a lot of schools.
Who knows? Yeah, you know, who knows? But here you go, Dan. I got interesting news for you on your favorite basketball league. Amari Stoudemire has signed on to join the Big Three. He is going to play for the Tri-State team along with Jermaine O'Neal and Nate Robinson. Stoudemire was a fantastic player through his career. You know, he was a six-time All-Star, really made his name with the Suns paired with Steve Nash, but he played with the Knicks, the Mavericks, and the Heat. He's a career 18.9 scorer and also grabbed 7.8 rebounds. So it'll be interesting to see what he's got left. But there's some really familiar names joining on this year, Dan. Baron Davis, Carlos Boozer, Drew Gooden, Glenn, but most people know him as Big Baby Davis, and Meta World Peace. Are you watching Meta on Celebrity Big Brother, Dan?
Sure. What was that, two former Bulls, right?
Are you checking Meta out on actually, Nate Robinson's a former Bull, too, so that's three. Are you watching Meta on Celebrity Big Brother?
On Celebrity what?
He's on Celebrity Big Brother this year. Are you watching him?
Oh, I don't watch anything on CBS. Sorry.
saw that Greg Oden, the former number one draft pick who went down in history as one of the all-time busts, he's actually going to go to the Big Three tryout camp to see if he can get signed and, you know, pick up his career. Oddly, Dan, I was surprised that I shouldn't be surprised, but he's only 30 years old. So, you know, if he could show a little something in the league, you know, he could actually have an opportunity to join jump back into the NBA if he, you know, like I know there was one guy signed to a training camp contract, and I can't remember who it was. For some reason, I thought it was Jermaine O'Neal, but I believe that's incorrect. But I don't think he ended up making whichever team signed him. But, you know, definitely, I mean, we're getting some, you know, some names we're very familiar with now, you know, kind of bouncing around, and, you know, we'll get to see how it goes. I mean, you know, I think the network is still going to be, the Big Three is still going to be covered by, you know, Fox Sports 1. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, if and how or how that goes out. So, you know, could be a big plus. But while we're on basketball, there are some rumors about a couple point guards out there. I don't know if any of you remember Ty Lawson. You know, he put up some, I think, some pretty good numbers with the Denver Nuggets, got himself in some legal trouble. Actually spent the year in the Chinese Basketball Association. So he's looking to get back into the NBA, and there's a lot of rumors that the Wizards are possibly interested in bringing him in. Now, Lawson is just 30 years old. He did play for the Kings in the 2016-2017 season, so he's not that far removed from the NBA. You know, he could be a good fill in till Wall gets himself back, which is still, I think, about 6 weeks away from happening. You know, and then of course he could just slide right into the backup role, which in reality he's probably better, you know, a little better suited for. So, we'll have to see how that works out. And then of course there's former MVP Derrick Rose. It didn't work out with the Cavaliers. He had some injuries, ended up being sent to Utah. And, they knew right away when they picked him up that they were going to release him. But it looks like, and I believe Dan brought this up yesterday, that the Timberwolves have reached out to Derrick Rose. Now, he would obviously be Jeff Teague's backup. I think he can contribute off the bench like that. I mean, you're not going to get the Derrick Rose MVP numbers or anything like that. So, you gotta kind of take it at face value now. I mean, he's a limited backup point guard, but I think in the right situation, and, he knows Thibodeau's system, Thibodeau knows how to use him, they might be able to get a little bit of production out of him. And again, just as a backup, I mean, you get him in there 15, maybe he plays 20 minutes a game. He could probably score, 10 points a game for you, in that type of situation. So I think he could be really, really usable and valuable for them. And of course, I mean, obviously the former MVP, he's got quite a bit of experience. It just all went to hell after those injuries. We'll have to see how it works out. But yeah, there's definitely a couple guys who could, be added to playoff rosters that could, possibly impact their teams down the stretch. So keep an eye on where Ty Lawson lands and if Derrick Rose ends up in Minnesota.
Well, the way you were going with that, I thought you were transitioning into going to the big three, which would hilarious.
Maybe someday. So
yeah, but with all the drama that we had here for those last 2-3 seasons with Derrick Rose and Thibodeau, maybe there wasn't as much drama between the two of them than we thought there was, then more so that the Chicago media filtered to us. I don't know how else to put it. I wouldn't say made up, but the way everything was projected to us, the relationship between Tibbs and Derrick Rose, does it, being from Chicago, make you surprised that Tibbs would even be interested in him and that Derrick Rose would even want to go there to play with him? I mean, because it felt like here in Chicago every day the talk was that Tibbs worked everyone too hard and everyone just complained. Everyone was like a bunch of sixth graders going to work, going to school every day, just, kicking rocks walking in because they don't like the teacher. But then, Jimmy's more than willing and, to go to Minnesota and Tibbs makes that deal. I mean, do you think I don't even know what word to use or phrase to use, but here in Chicago, did our media just make it all up because they wanted a story to sell?
Maybe made it up is a little far, because the one knock on Tibbs that he's always had as a coach is he plays his guys too many minutes, and that's clearly true. Did it lead to Derrick's injuries? Yeah, did it lead to Derrick's injuries? I'm not sure if I'm buying that one. I think it's possible that, he would have just gotten injured one way or the other. Those things just kind of happen.
in the time that Tibbs was there, though, I mean, I felt like the only person who really came out and said anything about too much practice wasn't Allen Iverson because he didn't play there, but was Paul Gasol.
Yeah.
Never really seemed to hear it out of anyone else's mouth, including Derrick Rose.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Oh, man, I forgot we had that.
Yeah, so that was the perfect time for it, too. So, you know, yeah, I just, you know. But, I do have to ask you this, Dan. I know we're running short here, and I should have asked this a long time ago. I completely forgot about it. Lonzo Ball is having his first official autograph signing. Would you be interested in going?
As a Laker?
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Because
I don't know how he's doing. Well, I know. I just want to know, would you be interested in going?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, now if I told you that the autograph from Lonzo was going to cost you $199, would that change your mind?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even – I might pay $20.
Yeah, he is charging – $199 for an autograph.
People are going to pay it, though. You know that.
Oh, yeah. I saw that today. I want to see if I can get a – if I bing it here, I want to see if I can get a possible – a little more information here. Yeah, hey, here it is. Look at this. All right. See, binging works, Dan. You get that bing going, and now I got to do is wait for my computer to load the story. If for NBA All-Star 2018 Meet the Face of Big Baller Brand, he will be doing a meet and greet at Punta Hills Mall in the City of Industry, California during All-Star weekend.
Oh, so that's a Big Baller Brand thing. It's not a Lakers thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be charging $199 for his autograph at the meet and greet. And for those who are keen, you can get it authenticated for an extra $10. This is February 17th. And you got 3 days to plan it out. From noon to 2, he will be there. Now, the article specifically says no photo ops and no inscriptions.
I don't know what an inscription is, but...
Yeah, and if you are interested and you're listening to Dan and I right now, for more info, you can call 626-581-2016. So there you go.
Well, that's a quick signing. So, I mean, do you have to pay ahead of time or pay when you know you're going to get the autograph?
That does say, knowing, you know, if LeVar was running it, you'd be paying to get. that would be the thing there. I'm sure, you know, at that kind of price, you're probably not paying until you actually get the autograph, until you get up to the table. Because there's no way I would be forking out that kind of money if there was no guarantee I wasn't getting the autograph. So,
no, I know. You know, there's 300 people in front of you, and it's 150.
Right.
I'm pretty mad.
Yeah, I'd be looking for the guy. Would have a big problem there. Oh. Okay, all right. Well, Dan is going to book his flight to California so he can get that Lonzo Ball autograph. But we should be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. But you know what to do while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Get over there and look at the new blog that went up this morning. But follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like for us, please. That would be cool of you to do. Don't forget, though, there's also the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you'd like to do that. That would be fun for you, I'm sure, and fun for Dan and I. But as always, also, big thanks for listening to us live. It's great when you come on and do that. But don't forget, you can go get the podcast anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.
Sports Time Radio.